Welcome, listeners, to a story that slips beneath your skin and plants its roots deep. Tonight, we step into a darker place where loneliness becomes a weapon and the mirrors we trust turn into open doors. This is Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, and I'm your host, the Tale Teller, and what a joy it is to have you here in my dankest and darkest library. This story is not for the faint of heart. It's graphic, it's unnerving, and it pulls no punches. The thing behind the glass follows the slow unraveling of a boy who finds something he was never meant to touch. Well, fate just intervened. A reflection that doesn't just mirror him, it molds him. And when the mirror breaks, the infection begins. But this story doesn't end with a single lost soul, no. This is just the beginning. Because once a breach opens, it calls others. Warning, this episode contains intense body horror, vivid imagery, and themes of madness and destruction. Listener discretion is strongly advised, not for little ears. So turn down the lights, check your mirrors, and don't trust the reflection staring back at you. You're listening to The Thing Behind the Glass. Let's begin. Chapter 1. Into the Breach. He moved into the house on Hawthorne Road in late August. Too late to find summer friends, too early for school to start. The boy, quiet even by the standards of small towns, spent his days wandering the new house alone, watching dust spiral through unfamiliar rooms, listening to the ticking pipes, the low hum of distant thunder. His mother barely noticed. She unpacked in slow motion, boxes stacking up around her like crumbling walls. Her voice, when she used it, was muted, hollow, always directed at someone who wasn't there. Sometimes she'd stand at the kitchen window for hours, staring into the woods that swallowed the backyard whole. The neighbors had warned them in passing. Little things, said with nervous laughter and eyes that never quite met theirs.
Don't let him go into the woods after dark.
Things out there, well, they get twisted.
Not everything that wanders comes back the same.
But warnings are seeds when it comes to kids, and loneliness is the water that makes them grow. The first time he crossed the tree line, the air changed immediately. The trees loomed close together, gnarled and hunched as though whispering secrets. The ground was uneven, covered in thick moss that muffled his steps. It felt like walking into another country, one the sun had forgotten. It was there, half buried in the mud, that he saw it. A glint of silver, a fragment of unnatural light among the wet decay. He knelt, pushing back the leaves, and pulled it free. A mirror. Oval-shaped, rimmed in black iron that curled into spidery patterns. Despite the grime of the forest, the glass was perfectly clean, polished to a shine, so bright it hurt his eyes to look too closely. He wiped the edges with the sleeve of his hoodie. The reflection was off. In the mirror, the woods weren't just dark. They were skeletal. The trees twisted at impossible angles, some bending almost into knots. Shadows flickered between the trunks, shapes that didn't move like animals, shapes that didn't walk so much as twitch. Worse still, the mirror didn't reflect him correctly. His image was there, but wrong. The boy in the glass was pale, eyes sunken, jaws slack, his fingers dragged at his sides like they were broken. And when he lifted a hand to touch the surface, the reflection hesitated before mimicking him. He should have dropped it. He should have turned and run. But loneliness does things to the mind. It makes monsters look like friends. So he smiled instead, and tucked the mirror into the crook of his arm. As he carried it back through the woods, the trees seemed to press closer. The air grew heavier, Every now and then he thought he heard something, a faint rustle, a scraping of something hard and wet dragging across bark. When he glanced down, the mirror vibrated faintly against his ribs, as if eager. The boy slipped back into the house without a sound. He hid the mirror under his bed, folding an old quilt over it like a child hiding contraband. The air in his room grew warmer, stale, like breath trapped in a coffin. At night, when he closed his eyes, he dreamed of standing in the woods again, barefoot this time, clothes torn, mouth full of dirt. Something watched him from just beyond the trees, its shape impossible, flickering like a bad channel on an old TV. He woke up at 3:33 a.m. exactly. The mirror had slipped out from under the bed. It sat in the middle of the room now, tilted toward him. The reflection was there, waiting. But there was no sign of his bedroom behind him in the glass, only a path winding deeper into the blackened woods, lit by a dim, pulsing light. At the very edge of the reflection, something moved. A hand. Long, blackened at the tips, dragging across the inside of the glass. The boy sat up, heart hammering, breath ragged. The mirror vibrated again. A heartbeat not his own. And he smiled, because the thing behind the glass was smiling back. Chapter 2. The Mirroring. The mirror moved on its own now. At first, it stayed under his bed during the day, hidden, sleeping. But some mornings, the boy would wake to find it propped up against his closet door, or leaning against the dresser, its surface angled just so, catching the corner of his eye in a way that made his stomach flip. It wasn't just moving, it was following. And he didn't mind. The first change came 3 days later, a splinter at most, a crack in the fabric of the familiar. The boy brushed his teeth before bed. Routine and mindless, foam building at the corners of his mouth, he caught his reflection in the mirror and paused. The boy staring back at him was not quite right. The eyes were hollow, bruised underneath. The skin was a shade too pale. And when he turned his head, just slightly, the reflection lagged behind. Only for a moment, only enough to know he hadn't imagined it. He spat the toothpaste in the sink, not looking up again. But as he stumbled back to bed, he heard it. Scritch, scritch, scritch. The sound of nails, or something harder, dragging across glass. He dreamt of the woods again that night, but this time, he wasn't alone. Shapes walked with him, their bodies unfinished, stitched from smoke and bone and wire. They whispered in voices that didn't quite make sound, tugging at the loose threads of his thoughts, unwinding him strand by strand. When he woke, the mirror had moved closer. It sat at the foot of his bed now, facing him. In its surface, the woods writhed and festered. The trees were closer. He could see the veins in the leaves, the rot in the bark, and something lurked just behind a split oak, a shuddering figure, all elbows and teeth. The boy pulled the covers over his head. Childish, instinctual. But he peeked. He always peeked. The reflection smiled at him. It raised a hand, his hand, but with fingers just a little too long, nails just a little too sharp, it beckoned. The next day, the second change. His fingernails darkened at the edges, not with dirt, with something deeper, something embedded in the keratin itself, like bruises that wouldn't heal. He picked at them absent-mindedly during breakfast, feeling the satisfying pop as one nail split from the skin. No blood. just a thin black ooze that dried almost instantly, curling like burnt paper. His mother didn't notice. She rarely noticed anything anymore. She spent her days cleaning things that didn't need cleaning, staring blankly out the window. Sometimes when he spoke or tried to speak, she would shudder as if some unseen draft had passed through her. The boy stopped trying. The mirror had filled the void. By the end of the week, he no longer recognized his own room. The posters on his wall, band logos, superhero masks, had warped. The faces stretched into gaping maws. The colors ran like watercolors left in the rain. The furniture leaned toward the mirror, bowing slightly, as if drawn by some invisible tide. At night, the woods pressed closer in the reflection. The path was gone now. Only trees, black and tangled, their bark slick with something that glistened under a lightless sky. Sometimes the boy thought he saw eyes watching him. Dozens, hundreds, blinking in and out of existence between the branches. The boy began to itch constantly, under his skin, in the meat of his arms, deep in the marrow. When he scratched, the skin peeled away in thin pink ribbons, revealing dark, root-like veins underneath, pulsing slowly, rhythmically, like something growing. The mirror loved it. He could feel its pleasure in the vibrations under his bed each time he bled. The glass fogged at the edges, trembling like it was struggling to hold something back or something in. One night, too late to be dreaming, too early for morning, the boy heard something shatter. He bolted upright. There, at the foot of his bed, the mirror had cracked. Just a hairline fracture running from top to bottom. And through the crack, through that tiny, jagged wound, he saw something breathing on the other side. A wet, seeming mass of slick, black flesh pressed so tight against the glass it left a fogging handprint. The hand was wrong. Too many fingers, joints that bent the wrong way. It thumped once more against the mirror. A low, wet sound, like a heart dropped onto concrete. The crack widened. A thick trickle of black fluid oozed out, sliding down the frame, dripping onto the carpet with a sickening plop. The boy did not scream. He smiled, because something inside him whispered,
"You're almost ready."
Chapter 3. The Breach. The mirror shattered at 3:33 a.m. Not with a sharp, brittle crash, but a wet, peeling sound, like skin torn from bone. The boy sat up in bed, heart pounding, blood roaring in his ears. His room was plunged into an unnatural darkness. Not the absence of light, but something thicker. He could see nothing but movement, ripples in the air. The slight shimmering of something slipping between here and something else. Where the mirror once stood, there was now only a hole, a rip in the world. Through it oozed something massive, breathing in short, jerking gasps, slick and glistening, dragging itself forward one heaving inch at a time, limbs unfolding, some like arms, some like tendrils, some like wings stitched from a tendon and teeth. It wasn't one creature. It was a mass of things, fused together, fighting and failing to be a single form. The boy should have screamed, should have run. Instead, he crawled toward it. His body moved wrong, joints popping in ways that shouldn't have. Bones grinding dryly against one another, his spine backward, vertebrae splitting visibly through the skin, fingers cracking outward at odd angles, nails hardening, curling inward like black thorns. He wasn't just changing. He was unraveling. And somewhere deep inside, he loved it. He reached out, hand shaking and touching the thing. Flesh met flesh. A shockwave rippled through the room. Books burst apart. The window shattered inward. The very walls groaned as though the house itself tried to recoil. The boy's hand sank into the creature, up to the wrist, then the elbow. It wasn't pain he felt. It was belonging. The creature gurgled, a thick, slopping sound, and peeled itself open. A maw formed where no mouth had been, folding wet slabs of meat back to reveal something hidden. A mirror. Another mirror. Smaller, cruder, inside it, another boy. Not a reflection, a real boy, trapped behind the glass, pounding, screaming silently. The real boy. Him. The twist hit him too late. He hadn't found the mirror. The mirror had found him. And the boy who had been real, the boy of flesh and mind and blood, was trapped inside it now, staring out, watching as something else wore his body like a suit, far too loose at the seams. The thing in the room, the breathing mass, wasn't merging with him. It was harvesting him, preparing him. The false vision of himself, the one grinning, peeling, changing, turned back towards the trapped boy behind the new glass, and it smiled. A smile that cracked the face in half, splitting the flesh like dry clay, revealing rows of too many teeth underneath. The boy inside the mirror pounded his fist against the glass, frantic, mouthing words that no sound could follow. Let me out. The creature wearing his skin dragged itself to the window, whispering those words.
Let me out.
The woods outside weren't woods anymore. They were an endless sprawl of mirrors, stacked and crooked, each surface writhing with trapped souls, boys, girls, men, women, all clawing at the inside of the glass, twisted into grotesque caricatures of themselves. Each mirror led to another. Each mirror spawned another breach, and each breach grew something new, something hungry. The boy, the one trapped behind the mirror, saw his body moving now without him, moving down Hawthorne Road, bones still creaking, flesh still stretching. The false version of him sniffed the air, tongue flickering out from a rent in the cheek. It was looking for others. It wouldn't stop at one. The false boy turned one last time to the broken bedroom behind him, gave a sharp twitching wave, a mockery of a goodbye, and then it dragged itself down the street, limping towards the next house, where a light still glowed in the second-story window, where another child slept. Inside the shattered bedroom, the mirror pulsed softly. The boy inside it screamed until his throat tore open, and the woods behind the house grew thicker, swallowing the stars, the sky, and the last fading echoes of his name. Because the breach had opened, and it was never going to close. Chapter 4. The Blooming. The false boy shambled through the sleeping streets. The skin it wore, his skin, hung loosely now, stitched together by black tendrils that pulsed and writhed beneath the surface. Every step was a wet sound. Every breath a rattle through a chest cavity, too hollow to hold air. The real boy, trapped behind the mirror in his broken bedroom, could only watch, frozen. The mirror had become a window, a punishment, a cage. He screamed until blood filled his mouth, but there was no one left to hear. It began with Mrs. Calloway, an old woman who lived three houses down, alone except for a blind mutt that barked at the leaves. The false boy crawled through her unlocked door, dragging its broken feet across her hardwood floor, leaving behind a thin, slick trail of mucus and blood. Mrs. Calloway never stood a chance. The false boy found her asleep in her armchair, blanket pulled to her chin, mouth slightly open. It leaned in. The tongue, now forked and barbed, slithered out, sliding along her throat, tasting the folds of old flesh. She stared. Too late. The false boy plunged both hands into her face. Into it. Finger by finger, punching through soft bone, snapping cartilage, shredding the thin skin like wet paper. It dug inward, searching deeply. Mrs. Calloway's scream gurgled wetly, rising up as a bubbling froth. The false boy pulled something from inside her, something more than blood, more than flesh. It yanked free a thread, a pulsing silver-blue filament that connected her to this world, to herself. And then it ate. The thread unraveled into its mouth, spooling away her identity, her memories, her very being. When the false boy withdrew, Mrs. Calloway sagged into her chair, hollow. Her skin was still there, her body still breathing, but her eyes stared vacant, an empty puppet. And deep inside her chest, something else started to twitch. By morning, three more were hollow. A man jogging past the woods. A teenager sneaking out of his parents' house. A mail carrier whistling tunelessly. Each one devoured. Each one left shell-shocked, breathing blank. Each one pregnant with the infection. Because the breach wasn't just spreading. It was blooming. Black veins erupted under their skin, branching like roots. Their mouths twisted into silent screams. Their eyes turned glossy, no longer seeing this world. They became new mirrors, walking reflections, infected with the same thing the boy had unleashed. The real boy watched all of it, every twisted second. His fingers bloodied from clawing at the inside of the mirror. His voice shredded from silent screams. His mind cracking under the weight of guilt and terror. At first he begged to be let out, then he begged to be erased, but the mirror held him, forced him to see, forced him to become part of the watching. Every new hollowed person expanded the woods behind Hawthorne Road. The trees grew blacker, taller, the ground pulsed like a beating heart, and in the deepest part of the woods, something woke. Something older than the town, older than the trees, something that had needed a breach, something that needed him. The false boy stood at the center of the widening infection, arms raised. The flesh hanging from it twitched and peeled like curtains in a strong wind. Its mouth opened wider than should be possible, splitting down the chest, revealing a dark void inside. The townsfolk gathered around it. Those still alive, drawn by an invisible thread, stumbling forward with dead faces and open mouths. They fell into it one by one, into the hollow, into the endless hunger. Their bodies crackled and broke. Their souls siphoned like smoke in the growing thing behind the false boy's ribs. The sky itself rippled above Hawthorne Road, cracks spiderwebbed across the stars. And through those cracks, the woods began to bloom outward, pushing through the sky like black veins. The infection had never been meant to stop at one town or one world. Inside the mirror, the boy collapsed to his knees. He understood now. He hadn't just unleashed something. He was the key, the doorway, the seed planted in this world long ago. The thing in the mirror had whispered to him since birth. It had called him here. It had made him lonely. It had shaped his life into the perfect vessel. It had changed his mother. The breach wasn't an accident. It was destiny. And the real boy, curled inside his mirror, bleeding and broken, began to laugh. Because even as he laughed, he could feel the roots growing into his own skin now. He could feel the hunger, and when the mirror shattered completely, when the infection tore fully through the last thin barrier, he would be free, and he would be starving. Chapter 5. The Seed Breaks. Hawthorne Road is silent now. No dogs barking, no engines rumbling, no porch light flickering. Only the low, steady thrumming of something alive beneath the earth. The boy, what little is left of him, feels the rhythm through the broken mirror, each pulse a hammer blow against the fragile walls of his mind, each heartbeat a reminder.
The town is gone. You are what remains.
From his cage, he watches the transformation finish. The houses twist inward, collapsing in on themselves like rotting teeth. Concrete splits apart, spilling black veins that shimmer into the dying moonlight. Streetlights bleed, rivulets of molten metal, pooling into whispering puddles that ripple with voices. The people, the one who had been followed, are now little more than wet strings dangling. The people, the one who had been hollowed, are now little more than wet strings dangling from branches of meat and bone. They sway in the hot, breathless wind, their mouths open in a silent, endless prayer to a thing that doesn't listen. They are not corpses, they are roots, feeding it. At the center of the ruin stands the false boy, but it doesn't wear his skin anymore. It has shed him like a crusted husk, revealing the thing underneath. A mass of sinew and bone, humanoid only in mockery, eyes stitched shut with black wire, hand ending in dripping chitinous claws, a jaw dislocated permanently wide, leaking the last of his memories in thick, iridescent strands. It shudders once, and then bursts open. The body ruptures, splitting vertically, vomiting forth a tower of writhing limbs and eyes and glistening mouths. It unfolds into the sky like a nightmare blooming in reverse, roots becoming branches, branches becoming stars. The false boy was never meant to survive. He was only meant to break the ground. The boy trapped behind the mirror feels his chest tighten. His limbs jerk uncontrollably. He's being pulled forward, through the glass, through the breach. He screams, but it's not his voice anymore. It's a thousand screaming voices, layered and distorted, stitched together with fear and hunger and sorrow. His body contorts as he's dragged through the shattering barrier. Bones dislocate and stretch, skin tears and reforms, muscles knot into unfamiliar patterns. His spine splinters outward, ribs snapping free and curling into grasping tendrils. Eyes open along his forearms, along his throat, even across his stomach, each one blinking independently. The boy becomes something grown, rooted, screaming. And then he stands. Fully formed, a creature of hunger, a thing born from the woods, from the mirror, from the loneliness and despair of everything he ever was. He sees no town, only an endless plain of mirrored surfaces, broken and bleeding into one another, each reflection a different world, each one waiting. He understands now. He was never meant to remain here. He was made to cross over. To bloom outward, the breach was only the first step. He is the seed, and the seed is meant to be scattered. Above him, the sky splits again, not cracks now, wounds. Through them, he glimpses other places, other towns, other worlds. He feels the hunger sharpen into an unbearable point. It demands flesh. It demands life. It demands more. The first mirror breaks fully, shards spinning upward like glass blown into a hurricane. Each shard becomes a gateway, a path. And from each gate he hears new voices, children laughing, families arguing, dogs barking, lovers whispering, all unaware, all unready, all vulnerable. The boy, no, The thing stretches his new limbs. They crack and snap, hardening into thorned spears, slick with black ichor. The mouths along his arms weep a clear, sticky fluid that sizzles where it falls. He takes one step towards the nearest shard. The air buckles around him. The woods hiss and sway. And with a final shuddering roar, he leaps. Far away, in a house at the edge of another quiet road, a girl wakes to find a strange mirror sitting on her windowsill. She doesn't remember owning it. The glass is cracked, but polished clean. It hums softly under her fingertips. She smiles, and somewhere, far beyond her sight, something smiles back. Waiting. Chapter 6, Breachborn. Somewhere else, far from Hawthorne Road, sirens blare through a hidden city. A city not found on any map. A city carved into the bleeding roots of a forgotten world, deep underground, in a place where the walls sweat black ink and the lights flicker under their own weight. The Guardians awaken. Hell's Gate. A name whispered only in the dying breath of soldiers and madmen, an organization older than most civilizations, built for one purpose. Find the breaches, destroy the breachborn, and free the lost. And if necessary, burn the world down. The call comes at 3:30 a.m., as always. A breach event, major spread, confirmed multiple soul captures, mirror type anomaly, entity classed as class red, high infection risk, rapid expansion potential, hostile evolution. Three Guardians are dispatched, not rookies, veterans. The ones who've seen too much, who carry the weight of too many half successes and impossible missions stitched into their skin.
Agent Voss.
Built like a crumbling cathedral, body covered in tattoos of lost names, silent.
Agent Kells.
Eyes like dead headlights, always half drunk, breath smelling of gun oil and rust.
Agent Ira.
Small, fast, mean. Carving tally marks into her own thigh with a knife she's never bothered to clean. They don't ask questions. They don't pray. They know where they're going, and they know most of them won't come back. They arrive at Hawthorne Road. What's left of them? The world there has already peeled apart. The road is a rippling tongue of meat and stone. The sky above is a wound, leaking sickly purple light. And the woods, if they can even be called woods anymore, pulse and breathe like a living organ. At the center, half obscured by coiling black vines and shards of broken mirrors, something massive crawls. The Breachborn. The seed. And the thing that was once a lonely boy. Voss speaks first, a low rumbling barely louder than the death wind screaming through the ruins.
Big one.
Kells laughs dryly and shoulders the Harrow rifle, an ugly weapon designed not to kill flesh, but to erase souls. Ira just grins, a grin stretched too thin, too human.
Let's crack it open.
They move forward, boots sinking into the wet, sucking earth. Around them, the reflection shimmers and flecks, showing other versions of themselves, dead versions, twisted versions, versions that failed. They don't look. Looking is death. The Beachborn lifts its head, all 40 of its eyes blinking open at once. It sees them, it knows them, and it begins to howl. The sound is unbearable. A thousand screams folded together, playing backwards and inside out, the very air shattered with the force of it. Birds falling dead from the broken sky, trees combusting into ash. Still, the Guardians move forward. Still, they fight. They know what must be done. Cut the seed. Seal the breach. Freed the lost. But even as Ira drives the first spike into the soil, anchoring the warden device, even as Voss wades into the tidal wave of black vines, cutting and burning and screaming his dead names, even as Kells fires the first charged shot into the Breachborn's shuddering, grinning chest, they realize something terrible. Something too late. This isn't the only breach. The mirrors are everywhere now, not just in the ruins, not just the woods, in every town, every city, every home, everywhere a mirror waits, a new door is opening. The boy, the seed, was just the beginning, a test, a first bloom. The real garden is out there, and it's waking up. Ira looks at the broken sky, eyes widen. Through a gaping tear in the stars, dozens of new seeds drift downward, each one a twisted, half-formed body, each one still screaming, each one hungry. The Harrow rifle clicks dry in Kel's hands. Voss roars, a last defiant noise lost in the rising storm, and above them all, the Breachborn smiles. And thus ends The Thing Behind the Glass. And there we are, friends, staring into the broken shards of what used to be a world we knew. The Thing Behind the Glass reminds us sometimes the greatest dangers aren't monsters clawing at the door, but the ones waiting for us to open it, deep within us, waiting to awaken. If you enjoyed tonight's descent into madness and flesh, make sure to leave a review, share the story, and most importantly, keep your mirrors covered. You never know what's watching or what's already stepped through. If you like what I do and want to see me grow and push the envelope on the stories we have here, visit my Patreon, www.patreon.com/SFGT, where you could support me at the cost of a cup of tea per month. It goes a very, very long way, trust me. Now, before we vanish into the night, some deeply deserved thanks to the incredible legends who help keep this nightmare train rolling. A very special thank you to my old Night Titan, Matto Star. Matto Star, you have stood by this podcast longer than some mirrors have stood by their reflections. Like a true guardian of the breaches, you've weathered every storm, every cracked sky, every creeping whisper from the dark. Your loyalty and friendship shines brighter than 1,000 broken moons. And without your unwavering support and wonderful wisdom, I'd probably have been dragged screaming into the woods. Thank you for being the kind of friend who, even if I turned into a breach-born horror myself, would definitely still have my back, or at least, you know, aim for the head. Thank you so much, Matto. Have a brilliant week ahead. And I can't wait to share more stories and emails to your lovely, lovely self. Thank you, man. You are my marvelous friend. Talk to you soon. And to our white tea warlords, Lesiosaurus Rex first up. If surviving twisted realities required deadlifting corrupted trees and bench-pressing breach-born horrors, you'd already have cleared the whole town single-handedly, man. Thank you for bringing gym strength energy to these tales and for proving that even monsters can't outlift you. Mirrors, mate, will fear your gains. I hope, Lizard, that you've had a fantastic week, and here's to another brilliant week. Thank you, my friend, and I hope your gym session right now is absolutely bonkers good. Have a great week, man, and talk soon. And my next white tea warlord, Joseph Schroeder, when the infection hits and the zombies come clawing through the breach, we know exactly who's leading the survival party. That's you. With a baseball bat in hand, duct tape, and a slightly unhinged laugh, you're the hero we'll all be betting on. Thanks for having the zombie-slaying soul we all need. Dudio, thank you so much for your support. I hope you have a brilliant week ahead, and here's to more horror stories just around the corner. Thanks, Joseph. And to my next marvellous white tea warlord, Maya, Queen of Cats. In a world of breach-born beasts and creeping nightmares, you're a cat whisperer who would still manage to summon an army of spectral felines to bat the monsters back into the mirror. Sharp, quick, and totally uncatchable, thank you for adding your magic touch to this haunted world. Maya, thank you so much for your amazing support, and I hope you have a feline-tastic week ahead of yourself. Stay safe, and I can't wait to share more stories as well just around the corner. And my final white tea warlord, Sangeetha. Every guardian team needs a seer, and that is you. Where others would stumble blind into the dark, you'd already have seen the breach opening before the first mirror cracked. Thanks for being the visionary force, keeping our stories sharp, strange, and always a few steps ahead of the nightmare. Thank you, Sangeetha, for your support, friendship, and being all-round awesome. Have a fantastic week ahead of yourself, and here's some more stories as well just around the corner. And a huge thank you to my Earl Grey enforcers. I am so damn lucky to have Rhonda Ray, Michael Krupp, Seductive Smiles, Jane Gumnick, Paige Kramer, Divided by Zero, Juicebox Andy, Joss Heather, Peter Raffaelli, and Chad Warren. Thank you all for standing between the cracks in reality and whatever's crawled through them, my Earl Grey enforcers and my White Tea Warlords and O-Night Tea Titans. Stay safe, stay strange, and remember, in a world of reflections, the ones who survive are the ones who know when not to look back. Good night, Wanderers, and have a fantastic, brilliant week. Catch ya.
Joseph, Maya, and Sangeeta. Have a great week.